Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRVC present Tri-State Viewpoint. To join the program, call 304-399-8255 or toll free at 877-420-8255. Now, from the Kindred Capital Building in Huntington, Bobby Nelson and Gene Dean.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I get the somewhat unusual pleasure or honor of actually introducing the show. We don't usually work it this way, do we, Bobby?
No, but there's a reason.
There is a reason, yes, which will be forthcoming eventually. As you just heard, this is Tri-State Viewpoint with Bobby Nelson and Gene Dean. And we have a very special guest in the studio with us. And later on, we're going to have another special guest. So go ahead and introduce our special guest, Bobby.
This lovely and talented guest we both know. She formerly was employed in the city of Huntington in economic development, a number of other things. She worked for both of us over the years.
Yes, she did.
And she has maintained a high profile in economic development and other matters in the tri-state. And she recently was named, elected, appointed, whatever, the president and CEO of the Huntington Area Chamber of Commerce. And I'm talking about Kathy, I was going to say Murthy.
That's now you're going name. Way back.
Yeah. Kathy Burns.
That's
Kathy,
right.
Welcome to Tri-State Talk.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you, Kathy.
Let me begin now. You've been in the position how long now?
Since September the 3rd.
So you're really just getting your coat hung up over there, right?
That's right. That's right.
Well, listen, a lot of people, we hear a lot about the Chamber as the premier business organization for the area. How basically is the Chamber structured? How is it organized?
Well, it's a member organization, and certainly we encourage both small and large businesses to join our Chamber. It's a dues-paying organization. And as far as the structure goes, it's really made up of the members. And so we have a board of directors of up to 50 members. And then, of course, we have an executive board, which consists of the officers. And so those are elected by a nominating committee. And the executive board consists of about eight people based on the bylaws.
Okay. And you are elected by the membership or the executive board? They're the ones that hire you?
That's correct. They had a nomination or a hiring committee. And primarily made up of the executive committee, as well as a few others. And then they made the recommendation to the full board.
I want to follow up on it just a second. How is the area chamber here tied to the state chamber and the national chamber?
We're members of both, actually. And so they also are a dues-paying organization. And so we are members of both the state chamber as well as the U.S. chamber. And so we participate, you know, we attend some of their events and vice versa.
And you pay them dues.
We do.
And Kathy, as Bobby said, you worked for him when he was mayor. You worked for me when I was mayor. And one of the things that thrills me most about your appointment is that you are the first woman to become president of the Huntington Area Chamber of Commerce. As, in fact, I was the first woman elected to be mayor, and so we've got something in common here.
We do. I'm very, very grateful. I feel like my career has led me, I've come full circle. I started off with Mayor Nelson doing grant writing, being kind of a liaison to downtown group, and, of course, with you, Mayor Dean, I continued that with the Department of Development, doing grant writing and working with area, you know, businesses with our loan pool. And so I do feel like I've kind of come full circle. So for me, it's been very rewarding.
Well, then you also had experience with the Empowerment Zone. You became the director of that, didn't you?
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. I did that for about 12 years. Of course, we got to it was an economic development initiative started with the Clinton administration with tax credits as well as some funding. And so, again, and what that brought to the table is I got to work in a tri-state area. And so I got to expand. And certainly our chamber, it's a regional chamber. We serve both Cabell and Wayne counties. We do partner with Ashland Alliance and as well as the Lawrence County Chamber. And we partner with the Putnam County Chamber and the Charleston Area Alliance. So we're members of all of those chambers. So it's
your
important.
Your career progression was leading you up to this, wasn't it?
I think so. That was certainly a selling point, I think. So.
Now, did you solicit the job or did they seek you?
It was a A combination. I had gotten a phone call about the position from someone who had heard that it was open. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, I didn't launch. I didn't really show any interest initially. I was not wanting to put my hat in the ring unless they were serious about.
Because you had a pretty good position with the Robert C. Byrd.
I did. I was happy with my position at the Byrd Center. I was working with our local manufacturing base, which was very rewarding to me, and I think kind of an underserved market here. They are anxious to tell you what they do, but they don't like to necessarily bring a lot of publicity to what they do. And so I was it was a rewarding job, and so I wasn't necessarily looking to move. But so I was approached initially, and but didn't act on it at first. And
But in thinking about whether or not you would take this this position as president, I guess is the title of the Chamber of Commerce, you must have been thinking about the goals that you would bring to it, things that you would like to see happen.
Absolutely. One of the things I think that we can improve upon, and when I said in the interview, I think our chamber does a nice job. I think they're pretty involved in public policy. I think they do a nice job with networking. I think we can just add value to that. I think we need to do a little more with our manufacturing base. I think we could probably do a manufacturer's council, maybe a safety council. I think we can just take some of the programming that we do and add value, perhaps it would be with continuing education credits, things that would add value. People's time is important. And what I have discovered in working with our local businesses is time is money, and they don't necessarily want to be pulled away. When they're away from their job, they're not producing, they're not necessarily keeping an eye on the business. And so you have to make it value added for them to see why they need to be a chamber member.
Yeah. You were raised in Putnam County, weren't you?
I was.
Putnam County is one of the fastest growing, both in business and in population in the state. And at one time, Kathy and Jeannie both know, Putnam County tilted toward Huntington, the Commerce Center. But over the time, as it's grown, it's kind of tilted toward the Kanawha Valley.
Right.
However, I saw recently where a number of the businesses are in the section that moves toward Kanawha County. A majority of the residents have a Huntington attachment. So do you work with them? That is a county, I think, in terms of business and in growth that we ought to partner with more.
Absolutely. Yeah. We share members. I just was up meeting with Marty Chapman just not too long ago, and so I certainly see the value of regionalism. That's always been something that I've advocated. We share membership. There's no reason why we can't share programming. The concerns of businesses in Putnam are the same concerns of businesses in Lawrence County, Boyd County, Kentucky, or Cabell County or Wayne County. So I absolutely think that there's a value in doing that.
But as a result of the last census, though, our MSA, or Metropolitan Statistical Area, has actually, Putnam County has become part of our MSA.
That's correct. That's absolutely right. And while some in Kanawha County are certainly upset by that, for us it's a benefit. I'm thrilled that Putnam County has become a part of our MSA. And I think maybe even by the next census, I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't see those two MSAs combined. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the I guess I'm sure that Charleston and that metro area was not happy. But how is your relationship, say, with the Charleston area chamber vis-a-vis? Because we're a little competitive. I mean, we've always been.
We are. And, again, it's that same situation that we actually share a board member. We share businesses, join both. It's good. I mean, at least with my experience, and I've met Matt Ballard, who's the director there, on a couple of occasions, but already I can see that he and I are going to do some things together. I think, again, looking at that whole Advantage Valley region, recognizing that the better those statistics are, the higher level of education our workforce is, my businesses here are going to be more successful.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
we know that our businesses, our employees will travel an hour for a job. We know that. So, if we have a higher level educated workforce who lives in Putnam or Kanawha, that's fine with me because I know that my businesses are going to be improved by that because they can recruit from that area.
Exactly. Kathy, we need to take a short break here for some commercial messages. Got to give the businesses their chance to get on the air with us. And this is Tri-State Viewpoint. Bobby Nelson, Gene Dean, and our guest today, the president of the Huntington Area Chamber of Commerce, Kathy Burns. Give us a couple of minutes and we'll be back with you here on Supertalk, 94.1 FM and AM 930.
This is Tri-State Viewpoint on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Welcome back to Tri-State Viewpoint. Our guest is the president and CEO of the Huntington Area Chamber of Commerce. She's in the studio here with two former mayors and a production guy in there who's got his dog with him today. But anyway, Kathy.
I'm glad you mentioned two former mayors because the chamber, in my estimation, and I think you'll probably agree with me on this, Bobby, has not always been as supportive of what the city of Huntington, the city government,
couldn't agree more. I don't recall that I was ever invited to any of their meetings and get-together. Or all I would receive is their letters saying, you need to do this, you need to reduce the manufacturing, blah, blah, blah. Never reaching out to say, we want to partner with you to do that. I think that may have changed a little bit, but with Kathy at the helm, I think there's going to be a big change because she comes from city government.
Absolutely. So she knows what we go through there. And sometimes, and most times, support from the chamber would be very, very helpful. So anyway, that's a charge I'm giving you, Kathy.
Well, and she, did you work with Steve Williams? You worked with Steve. He was the acting city manager.
I know.
She already knows.
I'm telling you, it's come full circle. I said it.
Did you ever work with Ernie Anderson, the man Italian from Logan? You're lucky. Thank you for finally getting to that.
Tell us about some of your goals, Kathy.
Well, again, certainly I want to increase our membership. It's been the chamber membership has been a little stagnant for maybe the last few years. And so in my experience, and I sold when I was with the Empowerment Zone and worked with Ohio University, I sold training. I would call on existing companies, and I would talk about incumbent worker training. And so I understand it's all about relationship building, and people have to see value, but there has to be, you know, I want to be knocking on the front doors. I have no problem. I want to meet the individuals that work at our companies here, and I want them to know that we have an open door at the chamber.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to be sitting behind your desk all the time.
Absolutely not. You know, if I'm sitting behind the desk, then there's something wrong. So
yeah.
I need to be out and about. I need to be meeting with our local businesses, and that's how you find out what truly is going on, how their business is, what the market's like, whether they're diversifying, whether they're having issues. And that's how you know really then how to direct your programming. For example, you know, we know that the Affordable Health Care Act has come online. We know that's a concern. A lot of people are just a little confused about what that means and how it's going to impact their businesses. A lot of self-insured companies, if you'd asked them 6 months ago, they didn't think that maybe they were going to be impacted. And now they are second-guessing that and are not really clear about what the mandates are. So, you know, that's one of the things that I heard when I first took the job. And so, you know, we've set up a free seminar on November the 8th for our chamber members so that they can come and hear about what the law says, what they need to be doing now in 2013, and what they need to be preparing for in 2014. So that's the kind of programming that we want to be able to help answer a lot of questions that may be.
That's good. Well, when this whole Affordable Care Act was in the Congress, the chamber was adamantly opposed to it and spent a good deal of money, I think $32 million in 2010, to elect Republican members of Congress, many of them Tea Party.
The U.S. Chamber.
Not the local chamber.
Right.
They probably support. I won't say that. Anyway, they. But it caused the House to swing to the right and led to the debacle we have now. Yeah. And I think it's Donahoe. Tom Donahoe is the president of the National Chamber. He said that people like Ted Cruz and the others, that they could not go then because the chamber came out against the shutdown and against them fighting against raising the debt. And although they supported a lot of these people, but many of them are from safe districts, so they just thumbed their nose at the chamber and others.
Right, they've gerrymandered their districts now.
And
right.
So, and
they feel safe.
What scared me, Kathy and Gene, is that 62% of the Republicans, which is the majority of the House, voted to allow the country to go to default. They voted against it, and that is scary. And when you combine that with the with the general, you know, economic conditions, and the fact that this is a kick the can down the road, we're only going to be doing this again. I hope that Mr. Donahue sticks to his guns, that we don't want to go through this again. We don't need to have the government, because that really hurts business.
3 months is not a very long time to resolve this issue, and especially, I think, for retailers with the holiday season, a big buying season coming up, it's a little iffy. I think people are still going to be concerned.
Oh, yeah. There was I heard on the news today, there's on the Ed Schultz show, I mean, we may have been called, where this congressman, they're back home now, and this one member went to this typical little Italian restaurant he goes to all the time and go get his meal. And while he was there, the owner came in and said, "Congressman, I'm worried." And he said, "Well, what are you worried about?" And he said, "I don't have any customers. People aren't coming in. They're affected by all this stuff that's going on." So it has that ripple effect of really getting down to to everybody.
Yeah, you're right on that.
I have another crow I want to pick with not with you, Kathy, but with the
Chamber.
Well, it's the Chamber has supported. There is a paper front called Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse. And they said West Virginia is the hellhole of that.
They've been saying that for years.
Yeah, well, they are basically a pro-business, anti-union organization, and they have made this claim. But West Virginia has made some changes in terms of its court system. You know, the written opinions on every appeal. They've had a good bit of outreach and minimum education for things. But and in terms of our business climate, I think we're now 35th in the country. We're improving because of although our jobs aren't improving, but in the overall economy. The point I'm making that every study I have seen in terms of how a business can really grow and provide jobs. The two top things they look for most of all, one is education and quality of life. Now, you get these chamber ads, the bad business climate, bad judicial climate, and even the taxes are seventh on the list when you're talking about what can be done to improve not only the business climate but to create jobs.
Right.
Do you subscribe generally to that, or you say we got to lower taxes? That's the biggest thing we have to do.
Well, I think our public policy, I would like to see it business friendly, but you're absolutely right. When I talk to our businesses, finding employees who have good work ethic and who are good with their math skills and who are trainable, that's primary focus. And we hear that every day. And, you know, we certainly know, and it's sad to report, but we also know that a lot of employees cannot pass a drug test. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's certainly an issue. I don't know that it's just our region, but that is certainly an issue as well. So, you know.
Are we doing enough, both in the field of education and in the field of drug addiction?
I mean, I think there's a lot more. I think, obviously, with our statistics the way they are, I think there's a lot that we can do differently.
Mm-hmm.
Having been a recruiter in our school system, just getting people to focus about what the skill level they need. Math is so important. And, you just see so many children who are only taking the minimum math that's required and not the higher level math, and they're very capable of doing a lot more. And all of our manufacturing, it's all automated now. And, you know, this equipment costs hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they're not going to put someone running this equipment if they cannot do the math. And it's simple math. It's, you know, fractions and division. And so that's... there's no question that we need to demand more, expect more from our students.
Is there a fear of math that has grown up over the years?
I think average has become acceptable. When I went to school, most of the people were pushed into the higher level math, and now it's called, advanced placement math or honors math. And so that title alone, people think, well, I don't know that I want to go to college, so I don't know that I need to take this higher level. We should be teaching that math to the majority of our students, rather than making it only those top 10% that are taking those classes. So that's where we're going to have to start, I think, raising the skill level and the education attainment here. And it's not necessarily education attainment, not necessarily a 4-year degree. I mean, I think it's perfectly fine for to have the higher level math to do the 2-year associates or the trades, mm-hmm. Because you know you can ultimately earn your 4-year by going to work for a company, and then they will help you do on the job training, which will count toward college credits.
But you need that higher level math training.
Absolutely, yeah. You've got to have mm-hmm. the math, and you've got to have the communication and the English, mm-hmm. and that's one of the things that we're definitely seeing is
yeah,
we're lacking.
I'm appalled at the lack of ability to communicate in just plain old English.
Right, right. Mm.
Yeah, that's why people can be manipulated. So it's this whole Affordable Care thing. They're painted mm-hmm. it as a real demon, and mm-hmm. it really isn't. I wanted to ask you about the minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's currently $7.60 in West Virginia. The West Virginia Center for Budget and Policy did a study and said that it needed to be raised because it not only would help the overall economy, it would really help business. So they wouldn't lose, they'd actually gain by raising it because this high turnover that they have. Then they bring in new employees, and they have to train them, which costs money. Or if they don't, they'll leave. So it's a constant cost to business. They're saying that their study shows that they would not lose jobs. They'd actually gain because not only would they, if they got a trained employee and they had a wage to help them support their family, the turnover would be reduced. They'd have the employees stay there. And even more importantly, the money they get, they would spend right there in the community or in
right.
the business. And
mm-hmm.
This is something that basically has been a problem for the chambers, just like the union thing. But sometimes you got to look at the overall picture. And I just want to throw that out there and see if you would, what your general thought is about that, about maybe raising the minimum wage in our state.
Well, you know, I think there's two sides to that story. I mean, certainly the argument that you make is right. Companies could certainly raise the rate regardless of what the minimum is if they want to retain their employees. I think it comes down to how much do you want government to make those decisions for you, or how much do you want the company to be able to have that latitude to make that decision. I mean, we hear it all the time. What I hear in this area is the need for welders, and we can continue.
With higher starting
right,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, Kathy, we should have given you more time, but unfortunately we don't have more time to give you right now.
Yeah,
so
let's just get into the hard questions.
I know.
Yes, that's
we
right.
can continue.
To be continued another day. Our guest has been the new president of the Huntington Area Chamber of Commerce, and she's going to come back with us another day.
You're listening to Tri-State Viewpoint on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Hey, welcome back to Tri-State Viewpoint. We have a very special guest in the studio today, so I want to give you our telephone numbers in case you want to call this very famous Huntingtonian who went out to the left coast. Call us locally, 304-399-8255, and toll free 1-877-420-8255. Gene, this is your guest. Introduce him.
Well, I am delighted to introduce him, and Ernie is really on the ball, and I hope, listeners, that you may recognize that music, because if you ever watch Wheel of Fortune, here in the studio with us is the voice that you hear on Wheel of Fortune, Jim Thornton.
Promotional consideration provided by Mayor Dean and Mayor Nelson.
No money.
Welcome.
Good voice.
Yes, a wonderful voice for radio and television, of course.
And a good
yes.
face for radio, they say, too, right?
That's exactly
oh,
right. Oh, tell us, Jim, we know that this building actually is, you're no stranger to this building. You've been here before many years ago.
Many years ago.
Why was that?
It's like coming home week for me.
Okay.
I was here, I helped them move the Channel 13 back when we were over at the old that old theater.
On Fourth Avenue.
On Fourth mm-hmm. Avenue. Mm-hmm. That's where I worked for about a year and a half over there. That location that we moved over here, they were in the process mm-hmm. of moving. That would have dated it to about, 83, 84. So. Mm,
something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it is now? It's where the Coalition for the Homeless.
Is that right?
Right.
Yeah. Is that right?
Been there for a long time.
The place
time.
Is still there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
right.
probably on some wall somewhere, it etched is my initials. I don't know where. But
Jim, tell us, what is it like to be the voice on Wheel of Fortune? I mean, do you write your own lines before you come in? Are you sitting in a little cubicle somewhere?
I don't write anything. I just come up with everything off the top of my head. You know, all the prizes. No, I'm just kidding.
Mm. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
No, it's
okay.
That stuff is scripted. You know, I may occasionally, like, I try to kind of sometimes think, okay, what line will Pat Sajak throw at me that's going to try and get me off my game?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not always possible to do that. Every now and then, but no, otherwise it's all written for me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But you do get to ad lib from time to time.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And you know, the great thing about Pat is that he's so glib, and I really envy his. Just ability to go out there, his self-confidence. You know, he doesn't ever doubt himself. He's great. And he'll pull me right into whatever he's talking about or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it could be a very disconnected thing where he just says, okay, here's the prize, and Jim, what is it? You know?
Yeah, but it all runs so smoothly. And I was surprised when I read in the weekend magazine that comes out in your newspaper that Pat is actually in his 60s.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was surprised.
Yeah,
half of his life he's been doing this show 30-some years.
That's right. It's he started in 1981. Yeah, so they started the clock. This is season 31 that we're in now. If you do the math on that, you think, it's longer than 31 years. They actually started the clock on that in 1983 when the show went to nighttime. Remember, it was a daytime show years ago, and now it's a nighttime show. So that's how that works. But
okay. Well, before I ask you a couple questions, can you give our audience the way you introduced the Wheel of Fortune? You did a little bit of there on your radio show, but just so the others can get a feel for just...
Ladies and gentlemen, Pat Sajak and Vanna White!
Okay.
They're here!
Okay, now let's get down to serious business.
Well, now let's get Jim to record something like that for you and me.
Hey, that would be great.
Okay.
Your answering machine or your...
Right. He's out in L.A. or he might charge us an arm and a leg.
I would be honored. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Okay, let's get down to serious business. Tell me about Vanna White.
Vanna White, yeah, right. Exactly. Everybody asks about Vanna, and everybody says, please ask Vanna, can I buy a vowel? Tell Vanna I said hi, and I will. I promise. Vanna's just exactly the same. They're both the same, pretty much, as you see on camera as off. Mm-hmm. We had a chance to, when we flew up to Portland, we were sitting next to each other, and she is the world's fastest crocheter. Is that the word?
Crochet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does crochet. And she, I think she knitted a fleet of, or crocheted a whole fleet of baby blankets while we were on the airplane. But she's very nice. She's from South Carolina. Just good people. She's a tomato gardener. We were talking about tomatoes and all that. But yeah, she's a real good person.
Tell our listeners what your connection is with Huntington. I mean, they may think that you're just on the telephone from L.A., but you're sitting right here, and
the wheelmobile broke down, and that's why I'm here, right? I grew up in Huntington.
You were born here.
I was born here. My dad, Grayson, we lived up on the south side of Huntington here, Memorial Park Drive, and my wonderful stepmom Jan, who you know, very well, good folks, and my brother and his family are here. All my friends are here. Went to Huntington High School. Went to Kamak Elementary. What else do you need to know? And I love
Huntington. Marshall.
Went to Marshall.
And flunked? You bunked.
I dropped out. Yeah, exactly. I did okay. Okay. You know, I was there for a year. Then I moved out to L.A.
What were you studying over there? Were you in speech journalism?
Well, yeah. You know, I did a little of all of that. I actually, I was in. I kind of wanted to be in linguistics. I always had a fascination with languages. Yo hablo español bastante bien and that kind of thing. You know, but
you're showing off.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I could be saying anything.
Bien.
I just said, do you want to buy a vowel in Spanish? So I went there, studied some general classes. It was a 1 year. I was 18, 19. What did I know? And I moved out to L.A.
Right. Do you recall those, some of the instructors at all? Was Dorothy Johnson there then?
Boz and Dottie Johnson?
Boz and Dottie, I think, were there. They were actually, they were broadcasting here, and they were, and I believe they taught some classes over
she
there.
She was
a
chair of the Department of Speech, I believe, at Marshall.
Journalism,
at
maybe?
One point,
or
yeah.
But so you just decided? Did you decide on the spur of the moment that you wanted to go to California? And did you talk about what did you want to do though?
Well, I just thought I wanted to try a little of everything. I thought I'm going to spread my wings, is the way I put it, and see what I can try. I knew that, you know, as much as I love Huntington, I knew that the opportunities wouldn't be here for things I wanted to try ultimately, you know, voiceover and broadcasting and all those sorts of things. And a friend of mine at Marshall at the time, we were in a singing group together, took some class together, and he said, I went out there, you should go out there. So I thought, okay, I'll give it a few months, and months turned into years, as the song goes, do you know the way to San Jose? And look at me.
Did
now,
you have that that kind of hardship period there where you were trying to find something to do or
when
support
you're
yourself
out of your
or
car
on your
or
own?
Something,
yeah.
Or
well, let's just say I learned how to fold a burrito really well. Yeah, working in fast food. Yeah, I worked in fast food. Worked at a movie theater for a while. Then my first break came when I got into traffic, reporting traffic in L.A. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't even had a car at the time, so I didn't really know my way around. I had to really study up on all these maps. And now you can't get me lost anywhere in Southern California.
How do you manage to get away from the show to come home? I mean, what's going on? Who's doing it while
it is,
you're here?
Well, it's a rigorous schedule. You know, okay. We work 39 days a year. And no vacation time. No paid vacation
days
if we
year,
afford
not
to.
Weeks, but days.
Right. And so when I'm not there, actually, I'm working in radio. I work at a news radio station in Los Angeles, and they can give me the time off a little bit here and there, so I'm able to come back. And,
oh, that's good.
And my wife is taking care of our son. He's 16 now, so he's out of diapers.
So the 39 days, that means that a lot of these shows are taped in advance, right?
A few. They're all taped a couple of months in advance, usually is the way we do it. And so, yeah, we do six shows in one day.
I was just going to say, how many shows do you tape in a day?
Yeah, we do three shows per audience. We rotate the audience out. Pat and Vanna change wardrobes between each show, and they come out and make it look like a brand new day.
My goodness.
And that's how it is.
How are the guests who are on the show, how are they selected?
The contestants, when you can go on the online, you can submit videos, and basically there's an audition at some point, and they call you. If they don't call you back, then you know, well, thank you very much, you know. But the Wheelmobile is another way that we get some of our contestants. We have people who go out all across the country, and it's a great promotional thing, too. Mm-hmm. You know, we were here at the Wheelmobile last year, and, boy, it was cold. It was in April, and I had to come and see this because I'd never been to one, and it was coming to my home state, and across lanes, we had the best time.
Well, give us a tip on what do you look for in a potential person to be a contestant?
We look for enthusiasm.
Okay.
We want to see people who, you know, they may act really wild and crazy.
There's our most enthusiastic person sitting right there. Yeah.
Right through the glass. Now, what's his name?
Slim.
That's Slim.
Slim. Hey.
That's our third producer since this year. We don't know. That's how fast we have.
I thought Ernie G had changed wardrobes or something.
Ernie was there. Then Alex was there. Now we got, he does a radio show. He's on 4 hours at night. He does music and everything
Monday
else.
Monday through Friday, 6 to midnight. Six.
Oh, yeah, listen, okay. Listen to those pipes, man. That's Well, that's great. That's the kind of person who we look for, you know, and they make good contestants quite often. Sometimes
so
we
enthusiasm
have...
is key.
It's a key part, yeah. You can act kind of wild and crazy, especially at the Wheelmobile events. We like that, you know, to a certain extent. And then, but I tell you what, though, we start out with, or by the end of the year, we have 10,000 people, hopefuls, who try to be on the show.
Oh, my goodness.
We wind up with fewer than 600.
Oh, that's amazing.
What did I tell you?
I think we need to take our break here. What is it you say, Jim?
You could win $1,000,000 right after these messages. Or not.
I love it.
Or as Ernie says, you can win a car.
A new car.
We'll
be back. Stay tuned, right?
In case you think, listeners, that you've got the wrong channel here, you haven't. It's right. This is Tri-State Viewpoint, and our guest, of course, is Jim Thornton from Wheel of Fortune. If you'd like to talk with Jim for a minute or two, give us a call. We're at 304-399-8255 or 1-877-420-8255. We will be right back here on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930, and the numbers to call are 304-399-8255 or 1-877-420-8255.
Storm Tracker 13 on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Some light showers in the area, which will continue off and on as we go throughout the day, only topping out right around 50 degrees for your Wednesday. Overnight tonight, some spotty showers can continue into the overnight, but then starting to taper off. Look for a low of around 34 degrees for your Thursday. Even cooler, a chance for an early morning shower, but then drying throughout the day, a high of only 47. I'm meteorologist James Hopkins on your official severe weather station, Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
At MVB Bank, you earn more money, more savings, and more value. Open a most valuable checking with interest account today and earn high interest on transactions with no monthly service fees and free bill pay with one bill per month. Tie to our most valuable savings and earn more each month. Your money earns its keep at MVB Bank, your most valuable bank. Member FDIC.
Qualifications do apply. Minimum to open account is $50. Rates may change after account is open. Fees may reduce earnings. Every teenager knows GDL means graduated driver's license. But did you know that if you are a level 1 or level 2 driver, talking or texting on your phone while driving is illegal? Level 1 and 2 drivers can and will be pulled over by law enforcement for talking or texting. So play it safe. Stay off the phone while driving and keep your license. A message from the West Virginia Division of Motor Vehicles and the State Department of Transportation.
It's October, and that means Truck Month at Don Hall GM Supercenter. They've got more than 50 brand new Chevy Silverados and GMC Sierras available. Get up to $6,000 off on 2014 models, or up to an amazing $11,000 off on 2013 models. Plus, Don Hall will give you a Cabela's gift card with every new truck purchase. Check them out in their brand new state-of-the-art showroom at 1800 Greenup Avenue, Ashland, Kentucky. Or log on to DonHallGMSupercenter.com. Don Hall has it all.
More than 12 million people in the U.S. are currently diagnosed with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD. An additional 12 million may have the disease and not know it. I'm Marjorie McGinn, president of Women in Government Foundation. Women in Government urges you to talk with your healthcare provider if you experience symptoms like shortness of breath and chronic cough. Take the Drive for COPD 5-Question Screening at womeningovernment.org/COPD.
Now, back to Tri-State Viewpoint on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
This is Jim Thornton, announcer for Wheel of Fortune. You are listening to Tri-State Viewpoint with Gene Dean and Bobby Nelson on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930. Wow. Would you like to buy a vowel?
Oh, we're having so much fun here, and thank you so much for doing that, Jim. That's just great.
It's my pleasure.
We've got callers lining up here. Let's go ahead and let's take this first call.
Who do we have on the line here? Caller, welcome to Tri-State Viewpoint. You want to speak to Jim?
Ooh. Yeah, sure do. Is Jim there?
Yeah, he's sitting right here. He's sitting on pins and needles.
Oh, great. Hey, Jim.
Someplace you have to pay for that. Yeah. Brad, how are you?
Good. We're very proud of you out there, and I remember back in Johnson Memorial days that we definitely knew that you were on to something.
Oh, well, thank you. Remember our summer tours that we had?
Absolutely.
We used to, every year we did this summer tour with the Johnson Memorial players, and Brad was there with us, and we'd go out and we'd have a play that we put on and sort of bring them around all different parts of the country, you know, to different churches and everything, had more fun, and got into a lot of mischief too, right, Brad?
No, I wouldn't tell
you. Give away any secrets.
Let's just say thank goodness there was no Facebook and no places to post any videos back then, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. But I just recall how you really got into the acting roles and would sing and everything. So you kind of stood out among the group. So we knew you were onto something.
Oh, thanks. We had a lot of talent in that group. A lot of folks who worked really hard, you know, and we just had a good time. So, thanks. So thanks.
Wish
going good.
Yeah, doing well. Wish you the best.
Well, thank you, Brad. It's great to hear from you, buddy. Hope to
all
see
right.
you one of these days.
Hey, Todd's out in San Jose now. He works out in San Jose, so maybe
his
y'all
brother.
Can get together sometime.
Oh, okay.
That's terrific. Man, small world. It's great to hear from folks. I mean, that's great, Brad.
All right. Take
okay.
care.
Thanks for calling. Buddy. Let's go ahead and take this other call here. And this is... Hello?
Hello. How are you, Gene?
Oh, I'm fine.
It's the mystery guest.
You have a question for Jim.
Yes, my name is John, and I'm a school teacher, actually, at Huntington East Middle School, and it's the old Kamak building, and I'm enjoying your show. I listen to you guys on the way home, and it's a joy to have, I'm glad you guys have Jim on there, and Jim, I want to say that I love the way you represent West Virginia. I love to see our home, you know, represented well in other states. You know, it's oftentimes I went out west this past summer, and they're like, oh, you're from Northern Virginia? No, West Virginia is a state.
Yeah, I got a brother who lives in Richmond or Alexandria, right? I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. Hey, John, that's great. I went to school there. I went to, for what, 9 years, I guess, right? So, Kamak's where I went.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I'm glad they were able to save some of the building there at Kamak. And so, it's Huntington East, right? So, it's...
No, it's South... I think
it's Southside Elementary, I think, and...
Southside Elementary and then Huntington Middle School.
Middle School.
That's right.
And now they're getting ready to open a new middle school. In the east end of Huntington.
Are they?
Combining Beverly, but it's not Kamak, but
combining
inside, Beverly Hills.
Inside
and,
of
yeah.
Beverly Hills.
They're making those changes.
Terrific. Mm-hmm. John, thank you. And you know what? I any chance we get, get to shine a bright spotlight on this great state of ours and this great city of ours, I am thrilled to be able to do it.
Thank you so much for calling.
I just had one story real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, this is for Jim, and I think you'll get a kick out of this. I think I love Wheel of Fortune, and I love how it spans different generations. And one of my fondest memories, my grandmother on my dad's side has passed away. She died in 2005, rather. She, the years of her life, about the last month, she spent in St. Mary's Hospital, and the doctors gave her not more than a week to live, and for a week she was unresponsive. But as a family, we went up there every night, as long as I can remember, as a kid, and 7 o'clock, we'd watch Wheel of Fortune with her. Well, this is the last week of her being alive. We had Wheel of Fortune playing just as in memory, you know. She hadn't spoken to anyone in 7 days, and there was a puzzle on Wheel of Fortune, and then the woman had almost solved the puzzle, and out of nowhere, she sat up out of bed and solved that puzzle in a second and laid her head right back down.
Oh, what a story.
Amazing.
Oh, what a story.
So we get a big kick out of that, and I just want to say it's a great memory that I have of sitting with my grandmother at 7 o'clock as a kid. Seems like we did that for years and years, and I love how the show spans generations. Thank you for taking my call.
John, thank you for sharing that story, man. Yeah, I'm going to tell that to our executive producer. He'll really enjoy that.
Yeah.
I've heard that kind of thing before, too.
Have you really?
When people really get into the show. And people, there was somebody who told me a similar story that they have, you know, somebody with just a psychological kind of problem that they weren't able to talk much or something like that. But that show was something that they calmed them and they were able to get into.
Isn't that really wonderful?
Yeah,
that's a great story.
Something about it.
Well, we are getting close to running out of time. If you're going to call, you better call quickly. A couple nice calls there. But in addition to your Traffic Metro radio show you have and then Wheel of Fortune, you do a lot of voiceover for a lot of products and things.
Occasionally you'll hear me on some commercials. I was the voice of Johnny Gomez on a show called Celebrity Deathmatch. Johnny Gomez was one of the two ringside announcers on this. It's a crazy show. It might be a little outside your demographic. You know what I'm talking about, Slim?
Slim,
oh, yeah.
He knows all of it.
With like claymation and guts coming out everywhere. It's all clay, but these people, they're celebrities who fight each other to the grisly death. It's crazy. Anyways, on for 2 seasons, I did that. I was also in a movie called Monsters Incorporated back in 2001. And I did the part where the future is bright, that Monsters Incorporated. We're part of your life. We power your car. We warm your home. We light your city. Carefully matching every child to their ideal monster to produce superior scream. Anyway, it was a great little movie role and some other
stuff. And videos. You did some videos too, right?
We can't talk about those.
They're not X-rated.
Tell me about
Nemo.
some other animated things. Yeah.
Tell me about your voice, because you have many voices. I mean, the one that we hear on Wheel of Fortune. But did you go through some special training or something?
Not really. When I was a kid, I always did these voices, even when I was a kid, all these different crazy voices. Mm-hmm. I used to call in, I think, on this frequency, on AM 930.
Okay.
Way back in the day. Yeah. And when they had talk radio on, I'd call up as different people and just to see if I could get on the air and fool the host into like talking with me for a while, never letting up with the ruse. And so it was just something that was wired in my DNA.
Oh, well, it's a
for
wonderful
better or worse,
DNA.
It's a curse.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, did you meet your Brad here in West Virginia or out in California?
Brad, yeah, Lester, yeah, out here. Well, he went to Johnson Memorial with me. So
I mean your wife.
Oh, my wife. Oh, my bride. I'm sorry, yeah. I thought you said your Brad. Sorry.
That's West Virginia.
You see, I've gotten so entrenched with that California thing, right? I misunderstood. Yeah, I met Sue through, actually, she was doing a video story on traffic reporting in L.A. She went to Cal State Los Angeles, and she interviewed me, and we met and hooked up a long time ago. We got a 16-year-old boy. We bought a house here when she was pregnant with him, one that my dad and his family were raised in, and his dad and his sisters were raised in on the river there. It's just great. So I love coming back here. It's always going to be home to me.
Goodness. How long are you going to be here? Just a few more days?
A few more days, and then I got to get back on that wheelmobile. And
you're going to drive all the way on your...
See if I can pretend to be from Boise, Idaho or something. Get on radio there. I don't know. I'm incorrigible.
You can talk your way across the USA.
Well, it is a good show, and it's interesting to watch because you try to guess, you know, what the people are going to say is the numbers and guess what the question is.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have is there a service that puts those questions in the various clues together?
You know, different people on the show actually contribute puzzles. Mm-hmm. Vanna has contributed some puzzles. Mm-hmm. I haven't done any yet, but I'll broach that mm-hmm. subject. But that's, mm-hmm. from what I hear, the way it's done a lot of the time, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, who is it, Price Porterhouse or whatever, yeah. the people yeah. who keep stuff under lock and key.
Yeah,
what do they call them? Anyway, yeah. you know what I'm talking about.
Money bag.
It's all kept under lock and key, yeah. of course, uh-huh. you know, until uh-huh. it's divulged. At the end there.
It's a wonderful, wonderful show, and 30 years now?
31. This is 31. Season 31.
Season 31.
It's been on since 1975 with Chuck Willery, another local boy.
Mm-hmm. You got Pat Shea.
Pat Sajak.
Sajak is getting along in years, although he looks great with all the makeup. But
along in years. Well,
what about the
young.
Possibility, though, of maybe... you may be succeeding him at some point.
You know, I stay behind the scenes normally, but you never know.
No, you
with enough makeup, anything's possible.
That's true. That's why I think we would probably vote for him, providing they'd let us come on once in a while. Yeah, we think you'd be great at that.
And providing we can stop talking so that we can get off the air for the sports
show.
Right,
right. No, it's unstoppable. Well, you folks are great,
Jim,
so thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. It's been delightful to have you. Jim Thornton from Wheel of Fortune, and, of course, Bobby Nelson and Gene Dean. And we'll be back with you tomorrow, and I hope that you've enjoyed our show today. It certainly has been good to be with you, and we'll be back with new guests tomorrow. So here on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930, where you've been listening to Tri-State Viewpoint. Thank you so much for being with us. Have a wonderful night. Enjoy it, and ta-ta for now.